Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He would ask me repeatedly, are you sure that's what you want to do? Are you sure? Are you sure? And I'm like, I don't want to leave, but if I'm not going to be a use, I have to leave.
AC Romero, how are we doing?
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
Hey, I want to. It's great to have you on. There's a lot of people talking, and there's a lot of people on your social media who have seen what's been going on. And I think we need to get the big question out of the way first of all. Get straight into it. Have you encountered the owl again?
Yeah, very weird. I've never seen an owl ever in my life. And
really, you've never seen an owl?
Last night was the first one.
What? Yeah. How have you gone all your life without seeing an owl?
I've only ever seen them on television, and this one I saw last night wasn't wearing glasses.
It wasn't telling you how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah.
What did you think? So talk us through, because this is why people are here. Talk us through AC Romero's encounter with an owl. What happened?
Well, it was late at night last night, probably like around, I don't know, 11, 12, something like that. And I'm bringing my trash cans to the curb. And you ever get that feeling when, like, you feel like somebody's watching you and you know you're alone? And I just happened to look up and there he was staring at me. And we had eye contact for about, I don't know, 3 seconds. I slowly backed up and then I ran inside.
Amazing fact about owls, their eyes are too big in their head, so they can't like look left and right, which is why they twist their entire head around, and it's terrifying.
It's very bizarre. Very bizarre.
They're quite common over here, so I'm glad that you've managed to encounter one. Now, do you think we'll see him again?
I hope not.
No. Genuinely frightened by the owl. I get it. They are freaky when you first see them.
Yeah, it's just like I'd never seen one ever in my life. So looking it up, and I was like, "What the hell? That's an owl. That's an owl. I need to get out of here." But they didn't look happy. That's for sure.
They never do. They never do. What's AC Romero's favorite animal?
Man, my favorite animal. You know, there's something about like orangutans and monkeys that interests me. It's a very special animal. Not only are they very smart, but their instincts are pretty crazy and very similar to humans.
They are very, yeah. I think when you go and see them, like when you've been to the zoo and you see them, and it's those little frightening moments where the characteristics look like somebody you know, like an auntie or uncle, and it gets a little bit terrifying.
Yeah.
I hear that. But look, we aren't all jokes aside. We're not here to talk about animals. We're here to talk about sending you onto a desert island, AC. And we're going to give you 3 wrestling matches to watch whilst you are there. What would you like your first match to be?
So first match would be Taker versus Shawn from WrestleMania 25. It's classic.
Incredible.
Second match would be Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I think it was TakeOver Dallas. Shinsuke's debut for NXT. And the third one, it's a toss-up between Rockin' Hogan, the first one, and Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle from WrestleMania 21.
Oh, some good choices. I'm gonna nail down a final choice for you as we go through today. Undertaker and Shawn Michaels is a popular one. What I love is how everybody's story and the things they take away from it are always slightly different. Can you remember where you were when you first watched that match?
No, because I don't think I saw it live. I think I saw it. It had to have been obviously afterwards, but I think I saw it on a DVD. I had bought the WrestleMania 25 anniversary DVD. We had three discs with the Hall of Fame, all that stuff. So I don't remember watching it. I don't know where it was, but I definitely know I didn't watch it live.
It's funny how I can't remember the last time I bought a wrestling DVD.
Right.
Which kind of sucks, doesn't it? Because there was something quite special about going out with, you know, and spending hard-earned money on like a physical thing. And I think you drink it in a bit more. You covet it a bit more.
Yeah, and the presentation of it was really cool. Like, it's the way you open it up and it'd be like just done so well, and all the special features you get at the end. Like, it was good.
That match in particular, Shawn and Undertaker, is there a moment from that match that when you think about it, when we talk about it, it just pops out of your head?
It's got to be Shawn taking out of the tombstone. Taker's just laying there. And that's really the first time you ever saw Taker like break character or show emotion in that sense. And it was like, oh man, this is nuts. No one's ever kicked out of that, especially at WrestleMania. He could lose the streak.
It's the spot where that's the way he hits the tombstone. He crosses the arms, tongue rolls back in the head, and it's a 2.5. And it's sort of immortalized through the power of Twitter and GIFs and memes. That Undertaker expression of just like sheer horror that Shawn kicked out, even with the power of the tongue in there as well. Yeah. Shawn Michaels still kicked out.
It sounds so nerdy when you look back at it, like, oh my God, like, but like that's one of the reasons why it draws emotion. Like it draws men because of the emotion. Just like I only have to pick three, but like Lesnar and Taker from SummerSlam, the recent one, recently in the last few years, but Taker, that's the one where they sit up and they're laughing at each other and they start But even more so, like what got me from the rip was Taker making his entrance and Brock jumping him right away. He still has his jacket on. He's whipping him around. He's still in his coat. Like, God, that's like, you never see that ever. So
it's as much like in those moments. Me. Yeah. Where like the suspension, where the normal tropes are destroyed, like the tongue and the eye rolls and the kick out and that one. But when you discovered wrestling, it's always interesting to see where people fall on this. Were you an Undertaker guy or a Shawn Michaels guy?
Taker guy all the way.
You discovered think Taker was one of your first wrestlers that you really went for, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. I was young though. I was probably like 4 or 5. So, you know, I'd be watching it, but I'd be watching it behind the couch, you know, when Taker would come out, you know, but I was always drawn to him because it was always so different. He was the dead guy.
So what year would this have been? A 4-year-old AC Romero is hiding behind the couch. What year would this have been?
94, 95.
So, yeah. So sort of Phantom of the Opera Taker, would that have been eyesight?
Yep, around that time. Yep.
So was this the time that you discovered wrestling then, around sort of the New Generation era?
Yep, that's around right around that time.
Because that's a really interesting time to fall into it, because so many were moving away from WWF at this point. So it's always nice to hear when somebody discovers it at this time. Who got you into it?
Well, my father would watch it. And I would just always, you know, happen to be popping in the living room and he'd have it on. And then later when he was no longer in my life, it just stuck with me. You know, it was different. It was, I had never seen anything like that ever on TV. I'm like, what is this? You know, so it stuck with me from an early age.
Can you remember the first time that you watched it when your dad wasn't in your life? Was it like a little moment of, did it feel quite surreal or was it quite comforting?
It's hard to pinpoint that. I can, I can vaguely remember or vividly remember just going to like the movie rental stores and renting a wrestling tape, you know, maybe like the old WWF In Your Houses or, you know, stuff like that. The first time I ever saw Taker and Mankind, the King of the Ring, when he threw him off the cell, I had rented. I didn't know anything about it, but I had rented it on a whim because I was still young and didn't know much about anything. And that's how the first time I saw that match, the Hell in a Cell. I was like, holy shit, what is this?
Can you remember the point where obviously you're watching it, you're enjoying it, you're getting less scared of The Undertaker, but can you remember when you started to sort of come around to the idea of actually, I want to have a go at that. I want to do that.
Well, between me and my friends, wrestling at school at recess and going over each other's houses and putting on these little mock matches and stuff. After, you know, all that kind of stuff, and I was probably middle school around, you know, where we would wrestle outside. I think my senior year, or 17, 18, around that time, I was like, oh, maybe I want to give this a go. But I have to figure out how to do it first.
Do you think you would have landed in something sporty? Because I know you did lacrosse, if I'm right.
Yeah.
So like, was there ever anything that might have led you down a path of doing more in a professional capacity for lacrosse?
No.
Fair enough.
I was on the team and I was a nice guy, you know what I mean? Like, but I didn't have the skills. I only did lacrosse for 1 year. I did play football for 3 years. But yeah, there's no real much. It was more of a hangout time for me because all my friends love lacrosse. So I end up joining it because they're, you know, come play lacrosse with us. It'll be fun. But not much more than that.
Is lacrosse fun? Be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I played defense. I had that giant stick I could hit people with. Other than that, you know, there's a lot of running. But it was fun for what it was.
I imagine there was in football as well, because like you said, 3 years doing football, and so many reach that crossroads that I've spoken to here, where like it's either going to be a football thing or maybe a wrestling thing. Would anything have leaned you more towards football, maybe, AC?
Again, like I always heard all my life, oh, you got such big shoulders, you'd be such a great football player. But gotta be honest, only up to my senior year that I really start really picking up on it and like being decent. The first 2 years I didn't really play much during the games because just the way it was with like I was like the third guy in line for that particular position I played. So by the time I became a senior, it did become more fun, but I didn't foresee me doing any much more than that.
Well, that makes sense. With your mates as well, who were also into wrestling and you used to knock around and play with them, were any of those inclined to pursue wrestling as much as you did? Or was it just like a fun hobby they just knocked about doing outside of lacrosse?
Yeah, so they all grew out of wrestling, but I didn't. So while they were all going out with, you know, their little girlfriends or doing more mature things, I was still stuck in the wrestling phase.
And that's where you find the people that make a go of it, who just like, as all their friends go out of it, they carry on doing it. Yeah. So you've got the vibe, you want to get into doing wrestling, and then it's a case of finding somewhere. Your English teacher played a role in this.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Your studies, yeah. Yeah, so I had a project, I had to report what you want to do after high school, and all my friends were saying, oh, I want to be, you know, doctor, lawyer, a dentist, and then I had the sheet, I want to wrestle on Monday Night Raw as a professional wrestler, and I was so nervous to turn the paper in because I was in fear of, like, being ridiculed or, you know, humiliated, because I think we had to read them in front of the class, too. But I turned it in and I found out she was like, holy crap, I love wrestling. me and my husband watch it all the time. And I was like, no shit. So so that's kind of how I let everybody know I was still interested in wrestling. And then there ended up being a fantasy camp, like an hour from me, at a wrestling school. And you could pay like $70 and go there for the day. And then, you know, if you wanted to sign up afterwards, if this was for you, you could do that. And then the best student of the day would win X amount of free training. And I won the training.
Nice. Can you remember what you did that won you the training? Is there a particular thing that you did well or better or more outstanding than anybody else in your field that day?
You know, I think it's because I was picking up on everything really well. And I've always been a big kid. So there were guys there that were like bodybuilder type shapes as well. And I still somehow stuck out like a, you know, not a sore thumb, but I stuck out above the crowd, above everybody else. I think it's just because I picked up on everything. I could run the ropes really well. I could take bumps really well. I could do all the lockups and, you know, they could just tell me one time and I would do it instead of, you know, and that's the type of day where it's supposed to be fun and relaxed. So it doesn't matter if they have to tell you 50 times, they don't care. But I could pick it up right away.
Is that something that you've always been gifted with away from?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wrestling, do you think?
No, I don't think so. Like I said, I wasn't ever good enough to start until my senior year. That was only because somebody got injured in football. Other things don't come as easy, but wrestling, for some reason, that came pretty naturally.
Do you think maybe because it was something that you were just passionate about, and that's probably why you gravitated toward it as quickly as you did?
Yeah, that and too, I watched it a lot, so I could, you know, it's very easy to visualize what they're telling me to do, and because I've seen it, I know what it looks like. I know, it's not, I'm like football, like, you got to remember all these plays and what you need to be here at a certain time and da da da, which is similar to wrestling, but it was just something, for some reason, wrestling, I just picked up pretty naturally.
So you're going to the training and you're moving towards it. What's your mum making of all of this? Do you think it's a phase?
I don't know what she really, like, I don't know if she thought it was a phase. She was supportive. Like I said, my teacher brought me to my first camp because my mother had to work. So it was hard because I eventually moved out of state, and I'm the youngest of three kids, so her baby was leaving. But you know, it was rough at the beginning because, you know, once I moved to Florida and I started training in Florida, you know, it wasn't the best of times always. It was financially taxing. And, you know, I was there for 2 years and then I had to move back home I'd left, and now I'm back home living at the house. And it's like, well, you know, what are you doing? Like, you're back to square one again. Like, you know, you're not making any money with this, and it feels like you're wasting your time a little bit. And it wasn't because she was like doubting me for following my dreams. It was just very hard. You know, you gotta make the right decisions, and what's gonna help you for your future. And this seems like it's only hurting you at right now.
I think as parents traditionally just want the best. And if it's something they don't understand, it's a world they don't know, then all they see is their, especially when you're the youngest, and you know, being the middle child in my family, I see how the youngest is treated, and I get it. There's a special aura around the youngest. And to be the youngest and coming out, all your mum wants to do is really protect you. There was a lot of that. It was the case
to protect you. Yeah. Oh yeah. Still to this day, like when I travel, you know, where are you? Have you got to the airport yet? Or, you know, are you guys, how far is your drive? Da, 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 you know, you checked into your hotel. Yes, mom. Yes, yes. I've done it all, you know, but yeah, it's definitely a protective instinct, I think.
When you move back home then, and so your mum has said, this is, you know, this, let's rethink this. What were you sort of leaning towards doing? Were you still sort of dead set on wrestling? Was this just a reset, or was there something else you were thinking to pursue now?
I think it was a reset. I think that's the best way to put it. It was just kind of like, okay, we need to start over, because I took about 9 months off or something like that, and then I moved to Rhode Island for wrestling again. But I, in between all that, I was cooking at a restaurant, which I found some successes in that too. Like, I was making good money, and again, it's like, you're making good money, and then all of a sudden, okay, by the way, I'm moving to Rhode Island, and I'm gonna find a new job. It's like, what, really? You're doing so well, now you're gonna stop doing that and go do this in a place you've never lived before? Like, but you know, that's all part of the journey, as they say.
It's part of the fun, isn't it, when you especially when you do, like, there's almost a magic about not knowing anybody in a new place and trying something new. There's a magic to it. Who brought you to Rhode Island?
Randomly, I had a friend from high school who was living in Rhode Island, in Providence, Rhode Island. And he said, oh, I'm looking for a roommate if you ever want to come down and, you know, get out of Maine. It was very attractive to me, because I was back home, and I'm like, well, if I do this, and now I'm back out of the house, so I have that stress off me for my parents, you know what I mean? I'm not living there anymore. So I ended up moving down there, and again, luckily, everything, I don't want to make a long story out of this, but everything I've had with wrestling, I felt like I've been lucky, because when I moved to Florida originally for training, I just thought I could just waltz right into FCW in Tampa, because on there, because I found out it was a WWE thing. So on their website, there was options for classes. So I was like, you know, I'll just go down there and I will sign up the beginner's class, and then move on to the intermediate class, get to the advanced class, and I'll be on Monday Night Raw in no time, right? Mm. Well, I move all my stuff down there. I relocate. I'm there. And I drive to FCW, pull in the parking lot. I see the sign, black and yellow. I see all these very luxurious vehicles parked on the side of the building. It's SUVs and stuff. I get out of the car. I walk towards the doors, all blacked out, so you couldn't see in, but I'm sure you could see out. I just took a couple steps, looked at the door, and I was like, nope. Got back in my car and drove away. So now I didn't have I couldn't do it. I was like too scared. So now I'm like, okay, shit, what am I going to do? I've moved down here now. Now I'm not going to the school because I can't bring up the courage to go knock on the door and say, hey, I want to sign up. So then I eventually found out Team 3D Academy was in Kissimmee, which is basically Orlando, and I was living in Tampa. So I would drive an hour to Kissimmee and then an hour back 5 days a week until I eventually moved to Kissimmee. Circling back to Providence, Rhode Island, I moved down there and I'm like, oh, I'm assuming there's going to be wrestling, I guess. I mean, I hear about wrestling, indie wrestling in Rhode Island and Massachusetts. There ended up being a school 3 minutes from where I was living. So it just kind of worked out again. It's, oh, okay, cool. And that's where I met, JT Dunn and Biff Busick, Oney Lorcan from NXT. Nice. So very lucked out with like the situations that could have gone very bad. They all worked out in the end.
Yeah, they did. I mean, just to dip back to it. So I want to just take you back there if you don't mind. So you pull up to the parking lot at NXT thinking, right, here we go. We're going to work through the ranks. We'll be on Monday Night Raw by dinner time. Here we go.
Yeah.
And you walk through the door and you see, you know, you're in the reception area. Did you get as far as the reception area?
I didn't even get inside.
Didn't get inside. What goes through your head then? You're near the door. What were you thinking? What was rushing through your brain that made you go, no?
You're a moron. Why are you here? They're not going to want you. You're wearing swimming trunks. Like, not even, like, just, like, the worst. Like, flip-flops, swimming trunks, tank top, like, not just the, like, no sense of like, because I was just so ignorant to everything. No sense of like, if you want to do this, it's like a job application. Like you should be, you know, dressed up maybe. And maybe you should have called ahead of time to set an appointment up. You know what I mean? Things of that, you know. I was just young. I was like 22, 23, you know, just a bozo. So I didn't even make it inside.
But I love the ballsiness of it. Of just going, I'm just going to move everything down here and we're just going to go. And I'm gutted that you didn't get through the door on that occasion, but it led to the path that you took, which meant that you got to work with the Team 3D Academy and spend some time with there. So you got through the door there. When you stepped through the door there, sort of what was some of the things that you picked up in the early, did you train exclusively with Bully Ray and Devon, or was there a team of other people that you worked with there?
So when I got there, basically my first school that I was at, the fantasy camp school I went to in Massachusetts, like it was very hard. Like it was, this is back in 2008. So, it was very hard for me. Like the first day was awesome. And then it became miserable just because like, some of the people that were there at that time, and they were just very mean, and it was a very hard environment to learn in. And like, I couldn't even chain wrestle. I was there for a year and I didn't even have that. Like, so going into Bubba and Devon's school, again, I was very nervous. But it was like night and day. Like these guys couldn't have been nicer. I had an interview with both of them. You know, why do you want to do this? Da, 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 da. Where did you train before? Told them about my experiences, and you know, Bubba was just like, you know what? If I walked into that school right now, they'd all kiss my feet. You know, no one deserves to be treated like that. And it just made me like blown away. Like these guys are millionaires on TV. I watched them when I was a kid, and they're way nicer to me. And they actually seem like they give a shit whether I'm here or not. And honestly, like there was one point where I was there for like a week or so, and I was just, I don't know if I can do this. I was getting homesick, and I talked to Bubba, and I was like, you know, I'm just having reservations and stuff. And he's like, you know what? You're like, and so I don't care about the money. You know, if you want your money back, you know, I don't care, you know, but if this must be important to you, if you moved your life down here. So I want you to think about it, you know. And, you know, I ended up being there for 2 years. And Devon was my first trainer. He wasn't on TV at the time for TNA. He was off TV. So he was there 5 days a week. So I would do the beginner's class. Because I was straight up, I was like, I need a lot of work. Like I've been wrestling for a year, training for a year, but I don't have the fundamentals I should have. And like, all right, we'll start you over, start you fresh. So it was very refreshing just to be it felt like they wanted me there. They cared about, you know, my training. And I got all my fundamentals from them, because I was wrestling 5 days a week. So it was a great experience.
Did you ever tell them about the experience with NXT?
No. No. Nope.
Just because you thought they're just going to think that's silly.
Yeah, and I thought it was silly because I didn't even know their school existed. That's how, like, ignorant I was to everything. I was on Google because I was looking at my friend who was there, and I'm like, what am I going to do? He's like, I don't know, but that was your plan A. You need to find a plan B pretty quick. And I just happened to find that school, and I was like, oh, it's only like an hour away. I can do this drive, until I eventually moved to the area.
But it's easier from there. One of the matches you did pick was an NXT match. It was Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn. Again, with that one, I'll ask the question I asked with the Shawn Michaels Undertaker one. Can you remember where you were when you first watched it?
I don't really remember. I did. Sounds weird, but I can't remember where I was when I watched it. I do know that that's a match I will play once every like a few months. I'll go back to it and just watch it, just because, again, the emotion from Shinsuke and Sami Zayn, and then the emotion from the crowd, which made the match 10 times better. So I'll watch it every few months. But I can't remember where I was when I watched it first.
It's something about that match. I think Shinsuke Nakamura coming in is, it seems like a bit of a changing of the guard of NXT. It kind of really felt like this is a place, it was kind of NXT going from becoming like the training school to like a super indie. And Shinsuke Nakamura was the first guy to come in and go, whoa, this is a big deal if he's here. It felt big. Like, were you, like, I know you know, you talked a bit about being like a naive wrestling fan around sort of 22, but when you first saw this, were you aware of sort of the body of work of Shinsuke Nakamura?
Yeah, I was a little bit, but to be honest, before I really got into wrestling, I didn't even know like indies were a thing. I only knew about WWF, and only until I went to Team 3D, I realized there was like other stuff other than what I see on TV. I would be scrolling through the TV late at night, and I would see this heavier set guy with wearing a T-shirt that had the writing of, looked like John Cena shirt, but it said like, you know, his catchphrase. I'm like, what the hell? And then it was Kevin Steen wearing like a parody John Cena shirt. And I was like, who the hell is this guy? Like, and then one of my friends, my first ever indie match I ever saw was Kevin Steen versus Colt Cabana, somewhere in New York at an indie show. There's probably like 10 people in the crowd. And I was like, what is this wrestling? But it was good. And there was entertaining. And then from there, I just opened up all the doors to indie wrestling. My eyes, I'm like, holy shit, this existed.
And all of a sudden, you'll find that the more you with this indie wrestling malarkey, you can get out there and you can be very busy if you so chose to.
Yeah, so I wasn't, around that time, I knew of Shinsuke. I've seen some of his matches and his work, but seeing him in that light, I'm like, this is awesome. He is awesome. Like, Sami Zayn's awesome. And then, like, the moments where they were able to create that match. That's why it stands out to me a lot. One of my favorites.
There was a similar response of just awesome when people saw you in Impact Wrestling for the first time. I know I was one of them, just a guy that, you know, has got broad shoulders that can move like, this is cool. And we first saw you in 2019, you were signed for 3 years. Like, talk us through like the initial point of signing with Impact. Cause that would have, like, outside of Major League Wrestling and the work that you did there. Like, this was like a real sort of landmark moment for you.
Yeah. So again, with wrestling, I was in Rhode Island for a couple of years, and I moved to Massachusetts for a little while. And then I moved to Ohio. Because I had met I had met Sammy Callahan randomly at a show in New Jersey. He was booked in Philly, I believe, the night before, and he showed up. It was like me, JT Dunn, and a few other people. We show up to New Jersey, we're in the parking lot, and I get out of the car, and up comes Sammy Callahan. And he was like, "Hey, what's up, man? We're working tonight." And I'm like, "What do you mean? We're not working tonight. I'm in a battle royal." He's like, "No, man, I told the promoter we're gonna work." And I was like, "Holy shit." And so basically, to make a long story short, like, we had a really good match and I became friends with Sammy. And then he was like, "Oh, come on, move out to Ohio. And you can rent the room at my house and live there. You can train with me." And so I was in Ohio for 3 years. But the whole goal was to be, you know, his goal was to help me and get seen by the right people. Because I had met Scott D'Amore a few times just living out there. I'd see him at shows and whatnot. And so that kind of got the door open there just to getting to know who he was. He could see me. And then eventually, 2 years into living there, they offered me a deal, and I was like, "Oh shit, this is crazy." And it didn't seem surreal until the news broke, and I don't know. It was really, really cool. It was special.
What was life like living with Sammy Callahan?
Just as you would expect, crazy.
Any anecdotes that are safe that you can share from living with Sammy Callahan?
I would just use your imagination. You know, Sam is a great guy, but he's also very funny and all these things. But it was really good living there with his fiance, Jessica Havoc, too. Like, they were so instrumental with helping me. And, like, had I never met them, you know, who knows, like, where my career would have gone. But they very, very what's the word? They were very gracious enough to lend me a helping hand and steer me in the right direction.
The first time we saw you with Impact, one of those first moments was with Larry D, who go on to be your tag partner. Can you remember meeting Larry D for the first time?
Yeah, I met Larry D at some indie shows, like around like Kentucky and that sort of area. I mean, it was a good old boy from Kentucky, you know, got the accent. We hit it off, you know. He was another big guy that's athletic. I wrestled him a lot at a company called Rockstar Pro in Dayton, Ohio. And we hit it off right away, you know, two big guys that could move and had similar mindsets to wrestling. And so it was kind of a cool pairing.
Is there, I mean, looking back now, because your time with Impact has come to an end, but is there, you know, without getting too sort of bogged down in the detail of it, was there a time from that particular run that you had with Impact that you look back on fondly that you really enjoyed?
Well, it's hard, but because my run there was less stellar than I wanted it to be, because the way it started off, right away, I debuted at Bound for Glory in the ladder match, and I was like, "Oh shit! All right, this is way cool. Like, I think they're gonna use me and want me to be a, you know, pivotal player." But alongside of that, there's not really a bunch of matches or things that I can say that, "Oh man, that was awesome." But I will say my time on filming Wrestle House was very fun. I think that will probably be one of the most things I'll be remembered for at Impact was my time at Wrestle House.
That whole thing, like the reality show come sort of sitcom, that was something that was happening at a time where wrestling was in a really weird place. And
yeah.
How involved were you in the process of putting that together?
I mean, as far as my involvement, I just got an email and said, "Hey, you've been selected to join Wrestle House and da 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 da. We'll be filming these days." And yeah, it was cool. Like, it was a very long days, but the way it was produced and the final product was awesome. Like, and getting to work with all those people, was really cool. And it was a different side. It was good to show a different side of my comedic or whatever you want to call it, side of my personality. It was fun all around. And it was, like you said, it was a weird time in wrestling. So it was cool to be a part of that because it was the only thing different on television as far as wrestling goes, that no one was doing something like that.
You mentioned a minute ago, like when you were put near the top very quickly within Impact, part of the ladder match, and then nothing really, you know, reached that height again, if you pardon the pun. Do you think that's instrumental in your decision to leave?
Obviously, like, when you sign a contract and you're at a national company, you obviously want to be used as much as possible. I mean, that's why you're there. But, you know, it all stems from me getting COVID. I got COVID in May of this year. And so the last time I'd ever been, I was at Impact this year, was in April. So I missed the May loop and then just never came back. I got to August and I was like, what are we doing here? Like, you know, it just was a weird time because now there are a lot more talent on the show from different companies. And obviously, you know, they got to fill spaces. So, you know, it was just one of those things where I'm ready to go. I've been ready to go since the end of May, like what's happening. And, you know, there wasn't any room. That was basically the answer I got. It was just too many people on the roster and there's just not enough TV time at this moment in time.
Because this is the thing with you know, the way that Impact has run for many years now, for those who aren't aware, like there's big blocks of taping, so that sort of cover them for TV for a few months. And as you say, like you got COVID, so you missed that loop, which put you off TV. You know, it wasn't a case of you had COVID for 10 days. You essentially had COVID for several months in the sort of the timeline of Impact Wrestling in that sense. Did they keep in touch with you whilst you were recovering? Did they sort of keep in the loop? And did they pitch any plans for you? Or was it simply just a case of we're full at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, it was like I told my parents would call me like, you know, what's going on with Impact? Why aren't you? How come you're not being booked? And I mean, I get and I understand, like, it's a TV show, so they can't just be throwing me on like an indie show, you know what I mean? Everything's got to fit the story. There's got to be reasons why I'm there and da 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 da. Yeah, I had contact with them, but, you know, it wasn't as much as I wanted to. You know, I would talk to, you know, my boss, or like talent relations, I should say. But it was just basically, we're trying, you know, but at this point in time, nothing's happening. And it just sucked, you know, in a word, it just sucked. Because, you know, this is what you finally make it to a level and you're like, yeah, here we go. And then something stupid happens. And now it's just like, towards the end, it became, you know, in the middle of it all, I understood, and I understood, but towards the end, it did become frustrating because now, like, you know, now, you know, I just felt like, I felt like they didn't want me, you know, and I'm not saying they did or didn't, but that's how it felt.
Mm. Were they open to you pitching ideas for stuff?
Yeah. I would call and I would pitch stuff and, you know, it would seem like they were on board, but, you know, just the nature of television, you know, sometimes things just go in a different direction.
What were some of the things that you pitched that you were quite excited about that never quite came to fruition?
One idea I pitched was like for me and Larry D to come back as like hitmen for hire, because we kind of left not in a storyline. We weren't really seen as heels or faces. Like, we were just kind of in the middle. So what if we come back as baby faces, you know, because they, you know, one of the things I said was we got too many bad guys on the show. Okay, so why can't we come back as good guys? We'll be hitmen for hire. We'll be like APA type guys, you know, and then we could do like skits similar, you know, not copying, but like similar to like, we'll have like our own little area. Cause the thing with Impact, they were good with stuff like that. Like, they did Swingers Palace with the casino stuff, you know, and that was cool. So I wanted to do something like that. It could be our own little thing, you know, and that could have been cool. We could be, you know, people would hire the big man to take care of the dirty work, you know? So I thought that was kind of cool.
I like that. I do. And they just, but they didn't go, obviously they didn't go for it, cause we didn't see it pan out. Can you remember, obviously your time's ticking on and you can feel yourself going, this is just wasting time. We're just hanging around waiting for an opportunity that might not come along. Can you remember the moment where you decided, right, I'm going to make a call. I'm going to say that I want out.
Yeah. I don't think it's talking shit, because I'm just telling the truth of what happened, you know.
Whatever, like, you want to say, whatever you want to feel comfortable saying, sir, it's all good.
Yeah, I just for the listeners, I don't want us to be like Barry Impact, because like I'm very thankful for the opportunity that I was afforded, because you know, I'm just some guy from Maine that could very well got stuck in the Maine indie systems, and back when I was, you know, Maine wrestling has grown exponentially since then. But I could have been just a once a month wrestler, you know? So I just want people to know that I'm not talking shit or trying to bury Impact, but the camp, the last straw was we were going to be booked in August, and then we were pulled off the week of. And I was like, you know, and you know, I'll be honest, like Impact was a big chunk of my income. So my deal was, if I wasn't there, I wasn't getting paid. So I was paid per appearance. So, you know, I was just like, I was counting on that loop to help me financially. And they pulled us. Oh, I was ready to go. It was like the week of. We were leaving like on a Friday, and it was like a Monday, and just, hey, bad news. The creative has gone in a different direction, and you guys went on the show. You guys went on the loop this month. And that's when the frustration really built. It's like, you know, what the hell? Like, what? And I would call him and I would say, what can we do something better? What can we do to come back, you know? And that's when I was like, you know what, this is how I felt. I'm not saying that's what they were doing. I just felt like we're getting dicked around, for lack of a better phrase. And then we weren't booked in the next loop. And I was like, all right, that's it. I gotta, you know, I think I've been patient enough. You know, I've been patient enough. Poor Larry D he was never sick. So that's the other thing too. I feel bad for Larry. He's been off TV all the time because I got sick. So, you know, and he's got a family, he's got kids, he's got a wife, you know. And I was like, you know what, this is stupid. Like, I can't speak for Larry, but I can speak for myself, and I know what I can bring to the table, you know, if given the opportunity. So I think there's no hard feelings, but if you don't want me there, you don't have room for me, or there's nothing you see for me to do on the show, then let's just split ways at this point.
How did they take the news when you said that to them? Were they shocked?
I don't know, because towards the end I didn't have much contact with them, but and I'll say it, like, my point of contact most of the time was with D'Lo, and he was sad, and he would ask me repeatedly, "Are you sure that's what you want to do? Are you sure? Are you sure?" And I'm like, D'Lo, I don't want to leave, but if I have to leave, then if I'm not going to be used, I have to leave, because I have my own things I need to worry about, you know, my financial situation. I need to worry about my career. You know, I just can't sit here for for a better part of a year and not do anything and be locked down. So though D'Lo expressed to me that he was sad, he also said, when he called me and he told me they were going to grant me my release, he said, all right, go out and kill it, kid. I believe in you. Go out and kill it. So,
maybe D'Lo knew as well that there was opportunities being lost here for you not being around.
Yeah, that's a hard job to have too, because he's just middleman. You know what I mean? He has to eat all the shit from the talent, you know, and have to juggle all these personalities and try to make everybody happy and just pass on the word from the top. And because there has been times where I called him and I was very frustrated and I'm like, you know, what the hell is going on? But yeah, you know, that was, he just said, go out and kill it. I believe in you. I mean, this is your time now. You got what you wanted. So and go out there and show them what they're missing.
That's it. It's you and the world now. What is, obviously Sami Callihan's still a part of that system. Like, and he was somebody that took you under your wing, took you under his wing for a long time. How did he react to you leaving?
He was like, I think he was just sad about the whole thing. He wasn't like mad, but I just told him, and I felt bad too, because, you know, he was somebody that helped, you know, open that door. And I had to be honest. Like, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm not making any money here. And I need to, I think me just being under contract and not being booked and not making money is hurting me, my financial situation, but also hurting my career. And I think he understood that.
Yeah. And you're now a free man and you're hitting the road. And I want to talk about that in a little bit, but we want to shift the gears, something a little bit jollier. I like to spring this on people, AC, and I think you're going to do well at this. It's nothing bad, I promise. As well as taking three wrestling matches, you're also allowed to take with you to the island a movie, an album, and a luxury item. Like, a luxury item can be something with some sentimental value, maybe a bit of tech to keep you amused while you're there, but we'll get to that at the end. But if I was to say to you, AC, that you could take a movie with you, what movie would you take?
Oh, all right. Movie. I would take, if I had to pick one, just because I like the story so much, I would take the movie Braveheart.
Oh, nice. Everyone's favorite Scotsman.
Yeah.
he is so Scottish. Like, there's statues of him here in the UK. It's a proud moment for us. It's a great film. It is a brilliant film. The really gore, really, like, it's a bit at the end that I always remembered being quite gory. But then when I watched it recently, I went, actually, you don't see anything. You don't see the scene at the end. I don't want to do spoilers in case no one's seen it. You don't see anything, do you?
Yeah, I like anything with a good story. But yeah, that'd probably be one.
How about an album? What album would you take?
Ooh, I would get the live version, recorded live. It'd be Fleetwood Mac, The Dance.
Oh, beautiful. But that particular live version of Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, the live is good. It's really good, like, from top to bottom.
Have you seen them live?
Never. I want to see them live. I want to, before it's too late, you know, because I know they're all, you know, much older, but I would like to see them live. It'd be awesome.
Amazing. How about a luxury item, sir? What would that be?
A luxury item.
Like I said, that quite British then. I'm quite proud of that.
Yeah. I'm very infatuated with the British culture. Well, I would say, like, well, so if I have a movie, if I have a movie, I must have a television to watch on, eh?
Yeah, you said you do.
Okay, so I would probably bring my PlayStation. This way I could still play Fortnite with my friends while I'm stranded on an island.
Good. Ah, that's a good shout. How are you getting on Fortnite? Are you?
Not bad. I'm decent. Decent. Mm. My friends would say otherwise, but
what other games? I know you were playing Fall Guys on Twitch the other night. I know that.
So I just started doing Twitch. I probably I'm like six streams in. I'm trying to lock down a camera. I went to a couple stores to get a webcam, but the particular one I need, I have to order it from Sony directly. So,
well, do you have an iPhone? Is that an iPhone that you're using? Do you know?
Yeah, right now I'm using an iPhone. Yeah.
There's a little app you can get, and I'll send you the link to it. It's called Epoch Cam, because I'm talking to you through my iPhone now. So you can set up your iPhone to work as a webcam.
Interesting. Okay, that's cool.
I will send you the link when we're done, sir.
Yeah, please do that. Yeah. As far as games go, Fortnite is probably the top one that I play. And then I'll play Fall Guys if I feel like wanting to, you know, get some anger out. I'll play that game. But yeah, this is probably my top two. The thing is, I only ever bought a PlayStation to play Fortnite. And I started playing video games when I moved into Sammy's house, because Sammy and Jess are big gamers. So you gotta get a PlayStation so you can play Fortnite with us. Come on, man. So that's how I got started. So Fortnite's my top one, and I'll play some Fall Guys here and there.
Just to pull on the thread very quickly, you mentioned you're infatuated with the British culture. What is it you love? Is there particular things that you love about the British culture?
Well, I there's a show on Netflix called Black Mirror.
Oh, yes.
It's a lot of the episodes it seems like they are in some British culture, a lot of British people on there. And, so I don't know. I never been there. So I would like to go.
Well, now you can. I like
the people, the way they talk, and like it's just the scenery, but it'd be different. To go there. I feel like, I don't know, it'd be a cool experience. Just from the things I've seen on the television of the British culture. I think it'd be cool to go.
Well, there we go. UK promoters listening. We're back open now. There's no excuse not to get AC Romero over here. Let's do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We'll call some people. We'll make that a thing. Cool. But more importantly, you're back on the indie circuit across America. How are you finding? I know it's still very early days since you were let go. You only sort of put out the call last week for anybody want to have a chat. But how are you feeling about it? Just a few weeks removed now that you're a free agent once again. How's the future looking?
It just feels good because there's no more stress on my shoulders, because now that the problems I was having with not being booked and being kind of locked down is gone. So that I just kind of feel a little more free. And I don't want to sound like it was a prison there, because it wasn't a prison by any means. I loved the locker room. I loved all the agents. I loved everyone in the office. But I just feel free now. Now I don't have to work around anyone's particular schedule. I can make my own schedule. I can do things like this now, which is cool. I don't have to ask anyone's approval. So that's cool. I just like the fact that, because I think people forget, and I know I did, once you sign a contract, you're playing in their sandbox now. Like, you got to do what they say by their rules. And so now it just feels good to be free to do what I want to do when I want to do it.
You're in charge of your own destiny now, which is really exciting. Yeah. So this is going out on Wednesday, the 20th of October. So if you're listening to this, we only chatted a couple of days before. What have we got, any dates in the diary, stuff that we want to shout about? Where can we see AC Romero in October and November?
October. I got a few more shows. I'm going to be this weekend. I'm at Limitless Wrestling. And then the following weekend, I will be at Chaotic Wrestling and Buffalo, New York again. So I have those in October. I have something really cool that I can't talk about right now. That's going to pop up soon. Oh, so okay. Look out for that. Yeah, it's pretty huge. So I'll look forward to that when that announcement drops. But I'm going to be being in a lot of places, so keep your eyes open.
That's exciting. We've got your third and final match that we've got to get to. We didn't quite nail it down what it was going to be, so now's a good time to do it. Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle was one of your suggestions. Hogan versus The Rock from WrestleMania 18 was the other one. How are we feeling? Yeah. How are we feeling? So Hogan Rock's definitive. Like that's the main event that never main evented, that should have main evented.
Right.
And all about the crowd, just a moment in time. And then almost the opposite, you've got Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle, which is a technical masterclass with two of the most charismatic wrestlers in history.
Yeah. So if I had to pick, if I have to pick just one, I'm going to go with Kurt and Shawn.
Hey, there we go. What tipped the balance out of interest?
Just because though they both had a lot of great emotion, the wrestling was not better, but it was more, like you said, technical, and especially towards the end, just like the way they put together at the end of the match with the false finishes and stuff. Like it's actually, I feel like, a match people forget about. So if you haven't watched that in a while, go back and watch that, because it's just filled with raw emotion it's a fun watch.
And if people want to keep an eye on what you're doing, where can people find you online, sir?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at TheACRomero. I just started Twitch, so you can find me on there. It's twitch.tv/ACTheWrestler.
Have you got a schedule yet on Twitch, or are you still figuring out times and stuff?
So I'm still figuring out, because there's like a lot of qualifications you got to do to like become affiliate. So I still have to knock off a few things off that list, which I'm almost done.
You've got to work. You got to Twitch stream at random times throughout the day and throughout the week on different days.
You have to have like 8 hours of Twitch streaming. You have to Twitch on like 7 different days. You have to have at least 50 followers. Last I checked, I have like 80, I think, which is pretty cool. I've only done it 5 times now.
Oh, we've lost you. Oh, no. Hey, oh, you're back. It's fine.
Hey.
Right near the end. We nearly lost you. So, but if people follow you on Twitter, presumably whenever you're going to be doing stuff on Twitch, you can let us know there.
Yeah. I'm just going to continue knocking off those things. And then once I become the Twitch affiliate, then I will have probably more of a regular streaming thing. So streaming schedule. So look out for that.
You can fight him on Fortnite all you like. That's the plan.
Yeah.
It's been so ace to chat to you, AC. Just a weird turning point in your life. I know you put out the message saying anybody want to have a chat. I'm genuinely delighted that you reached back after I'd reached you. So this has been so much fun to chat, mate. I really, really appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Here's one thing to end on. Let's go back in time. AC Romero is stood outside the doors of NXT. He's wearing his flip-flops and his swimming trunks, and he can't quite bring himself to go in, but you have the possibility to go back in time and say one thing to that version of AC Romero. What would you like to say to him?
I would like to say, you, knowing what I know now, you have everything that it takes to be a player in this business, and leave all the insecurities at the door, because it's going to be a fun ride, and it's been a fun ride thus far.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.